Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
So the first thing I want to say about the cross, and this is what I experienced, and this is what I long for you to have. Some of you already know this, but many of you don't. And some of you watching by TV are just flipping through, and it's like, yes, I need this. I want you to know eternal life. This is the Easter season as we're taping this. And it's all about resurrection and new life and being healed and cleansed. And speaking of that, let's go to the second point. Cleansing within. I'm starting here, then we're going to go on to change and to other areas that I've talked about this weekend. But I want to talk about what he does in your heart at the cross. The wonderful cleansing work within. Because many people are burdened with guilt, with inner condemnation, with not forgiving themselves, with shame. And they need inner healing. And at the cross, you experience that, or you can experience that. Let me tell you a story. I was giving a talk at Pacific Palisades, California. You know where that is? Just north of L.A., right by the coast there. They had invited me in to preach at the weekend, and they had like 8 masses. So, you know, I preach with a lot of vigor and enthusiasm, and I give a lot, and, you know, I get hungry just after I start preaching. So, after about the second mass, and I had already had breakfast, I went into the kitchen. It was Sunday morning. And I had met the pastor, but I hadn't met the associate. There was an older associate. Actually, there were 3 priests, and there was an older guy that I hadn't met yet. And as I'm in the kitchen, you know, I just wanted like a chocolate chip cookie to tide me over for lunch, you know. And as I'm looking for a cookie, all of a sudden, here comes this man into the kitchen with his hand extended. He goes, "You must be Father Cedric." I go, "Yeah, I'm Father Cedric. Nice to meet you." And he said, "I'm Father so-and-so." And he looked at, you know, he was the one I hadn't met yet. And he looks at me and he says, "You're a young guy." And he smiles. And I go, "Well, thanks. I appreciate that." And he said, "People would love you. Do you want to go on a cruise?" And I said, "What?" He said, "No." He says, "You're young and people would love you. Do you want to go on a cruise?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I'm the head chaplain for these cruise lines out here." And he said, I'm the one that sends the chaplains to these different places." He says, "Anywhere you want to go in the world, I can send you there." And I'm thinking, I just wanted a cookie, and he's offering me a cruise, you know? Well, my lucky day. I had never been on a cruise before. No, I don't have that kind of money. So I said, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I'm the head chaplain." He says, "You're young. Most of the priests that go are older. People love you. Where do you want to go?" It's like the devil, you know, just bow before me, and I'll give you anything. So I got down on my knees, and I said, I said, "Well, you know, I've kind of always wanted to go to Alaska. You know, I've never been there. And I never thought it would happen." 9 months later, yours truly is a chaplain on one of these ritzy cruise lines. Here's this priest with a vow of poverty, you know, on a ritzy cruise line, all expenses paid. And all I have to do is preside at Mass once a day. Then I've got full guest status. I can eat all the food and go to the shows and go in the hot tub, dance if I want. The only thing I couldn't do is gamble. You don't want to see the priest in there gambling. So, you know, because everybody knows who you are. You're not going to go in there. So I remember, you know, it was really fun. It was a beautiful cruise. Alaska's beautiful. I'm not trying to give commercials for this cruise line or anything. But I had never been there, and it was so pretty. Bald eagles and whales and glaciers and just really quiet. It was so nice. Well, one day I just presided at Mass, and I went back to my room, and, you know, you'd probably get 30, 40 people at daily Mass. It was nice, you know, the Catholics on board. And I go back to my room, and all of a sudden, let me see if I can do this, all of a sudden I hear at my door. You know, I open up the door. In comes this man, never seen him before, barges in, starts walking, I go, and he goes, I know you're the Catholic priest on board. He said, "I've seen you around with your collar on. I know who you are." I go, "Well, do you want to sit down?" He goes, "Nope, don't want to sit down." And he just started, you ever see the caged lion? He just kind of, because the rooms aren't that big, by the way, you know, I don't want to break your illusions, but he just going like this, you know, back and forth, not even looking at me, but just going back and forth. And I'm thinking, you know, what is this? And this is what he said. He said, I know you're the priest, I've seen you before, and I just have to say this. And he said, this isn't confession, but I got to let you know, I am in the midst of an adulterous relationship right now. And he said, it is tearing me up. It is hurting me, and it's really inside. My conscience is all disturbed. And then he looked at me and he said, finally he looks at me, and he goes, Father, you don't know how lucky you are. And you know what I thought? A cookie. I just wanted a chocolate chip cookie. What is going on here? So this guy starts going like this, you know, and he's talking about this affair that he's in the midst of and everything. And then all of a sudden, before I could stop him, he opens the door and door slams shut. I never saw him again. I looked for him. You know, I wanted to talk with him. Obviously, the man was tormented. If there was ever a place where you should have peace, it would have been on that cruise to Alaska. Because I'll tell you, there was the bald eagles and the humpback whales. And again, this is a commercial for the cruise lines. But, you know, it was just a peaceful, beautiful thing. And here's this man tormented deep inside with this sin. And that's exactly what sin will do to you. It will torment you. It will give you guilt, inner condemnation, can't forgive yourself. But, you know, I'll give the man this. At least he allowed himself to feel the guilt. The problem with many people today is they're doing this stuff and their hearts are hardened and they don't even feel the guilt anymore because they pushed it down. They had it in the beginning, and that's called a seared conscience. But at least the man would see God was dealing with him, and he wanted to do something, and he put his foot in the door, but he just couldn't do it because he was stuck. Well, I want to tell you, there's no pit deep enough to keep you stuck. You can move, as I said this weekend, and you can go forward, no matter what you're stuck in, through the grace of God. But you've got to take responsibility at some point in your life for what you're doing. God can't do everything for you. He'll forgive you. That's what I would have said to him if he had sat down. You know, God will forgive you. There's no sin too great that you can't be forgiven. But you have to make a move. Slowly and surely, I know it's going to be hard, you have to separate from that person. Now, there may be some of you watching me right now that are in the midst of this, and your eternal life is at stake. And I'm telling you right now, God will forgive you, and he'll help you, and he'll be very merciful. There's no sin too great that can't be forgiven. But you have to take responsibility for yourself. Get some self-control, some self-discipline, and do the right things. Make the right decisions. You went down a one-way street. You went down a dead-end street. Now you have to turn around and come back out. God will help you to do it, but take responsibility for your life. So, God is amazingly merciful. You see, don't violate your conscience. Heed the voice of your conscience. Now, I give a talk on prayer where I talk about the many ways that God speaks, and one of the ways that God speaks is through your conscience. Now, it's your voice, but it's God's voice speaking through your conscience. And I always tell people, let your conscience be your guide. It's very, very important. And this is one of the areas where Jesus brings healing. No matter what you've done, maybe it's adultery or, you know, gossip or jealousy or stealing, whatever it is, you can be healed inside. And God will treat you just like you've never, ever done anything wrong through the cross. But you have to come and lay those burdens down. Speaking about troubled conscience, do you ever hear this story? He writes a letter to the IRS. It's tax time, you know, Internal Revenue Service. And in this letter, this is what he said. He said, I have to admit, I've fudged on my income taxes. I've been struggling with my conscience, and I haven't been able to sleep at night. Enclosed is a check for $300. Then there was a P.S. P.S., if I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest. But that's... So, you know, you can't get by. Your conscience is your conscience. And what I experienced is healing and cleansing. Let's go back to that reading real quick from Isaiah. This is so important. Many people don't understand this. Please understand this. Please get this. This is so powerful. This is the Good Friday reading. Surely he was borne our griefs. He was wounded for our transgressions. The guilt and the sin and the shame and the condemnation was put on Jesus for us. So that now, therefore, the Bible says there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. It's so beautiful. You know, so many people are trying to earn or deserve heaven. You know, I have a lot of good works under my belt, but that's not to earn or deserve anything. It's really because I love the Lord. And I've discovered that, you know what, we don't need a Messiah, we don't need a teacher, we don't need a prophet, we need a Savior. Every one of us. That's Jesus. See, that's what separates our religion from every other religion in the world. We have salvation, a Savior. And he really does bring healing and cleansing. He took our sins. But you've got to give it to him and receive salvation. Let me keep moving forward. So there's cleansing. I remember, you know, I used to live in Sacramento. I've been in Houston now for 7 years. First 10 years of my priesthood, this is my 17th year now. First 10 years of my priesthood, I lived in Sacramento. And Sacramento, as I think you know, is the capital of California. Well, they have this big Capitol dome there and everything. Well, one day, it was in January, it was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. That's the legalization of abortion in America. I went to this pro-life rally, first time I had ever been to one, down at the Capitol steps. And as I went there, there was probably about 400 or 500 people on one side of the Capitol. They were holding babies and roses and, you know, pro-life. And then on the other side of the Capitol, there was about 70 people. They had coat hangers and they were beating drums and strange colored hair and different things like that. And those were the pro-choice people. Well, obviously, there was no choice in my mind. I went right over to the pro-life. It was like a taste of heaven. It was peaceful. It was beautiful. And as we were there, I had never been to one, and I have to tell you, it was one of the most religious services I had ever been, most powerful religious services I had ever been to, and it was outside on the Capitol steps, and maybe, I don't know how many were Catholic, but it wasn't everybody, but it was very powerful, and here's what happened. We sang a few songs, and just the whole atmosphere of the babies and the roses, the red roses, was just so pretty. And then all of a sudden, I wondered what was going to happen next. There was a microphone up front, and some women got up. And much to my amazement, they were all women who had had abortions. And they stood up there at the microphone, and they talked about what they went through, how they had made the choice, basically, in selfishness, in narcissism, in convenience. And they had had the abortion, and then how devastated they were inside after. And they didn't realize what that was going to do to their heart and how it tore them up inside. And I'm sitting there going, I can't believe that they're actually telling people that they've, you know, especially a pro-life crowd, and, you know, trying to give a witness. Now, here's what I really loved. Every one of those women, and some of them had had 2 or 3 abortions, every one of those women talked about Jesus and how the Lord had changed their life and how they received forgiveness for what they did. And get this, how they were able to forgive themselves for what they've done. You know, I sit in the confessional quite a bit. And oftentimes, you know, a person will confess something that they've done in their deep, dark past. And they have trouble forgiving themselves. And this is where the rubber meets the road. When you really receive the sacrament of confession, and when you really trust in the cross, you are able, no matter what you've done, to forgive yourself. And there's no peace like the peace of a conscience that is right with God. You forgive yourself. You're forgiven. You're cleansed. It's okay. And what I'm trying to say here tonight, I've already talked about abortion and adultery. I hear, In the confessional, I hear, not all the time, but many people have come to me confessing abortions, and I'm so glad that they confess it. There's no reason to hold it in. You let it go, and you move on with your life, and God forgives you, and you experience the cleansing. You forgive yourself, and then you leave it at the foot of the cross. Don't try to make up for it, because you can't. Remember what I said, you can't earn it, you don't deserve it. It's agape love. That means the love of God. So no matter, what I'm saying here tonight is, no matter the sin, adultery, abortion, murder, stealing, killing, lying, cheating, whatever it is, by the blood of the cross, we're forgiven. You know what happens at, in confession? I don't forgive you. Rather, I celebrate with you the forgiveness already given to you at the cross. And that's what's so beautiful. You know, it's a celebration. Why do I have to go to confession? So that you can receive it. So that you can really lay those burdens down. So that you can know Christ in a personal way. And those of you who are watching, go to confession. You know, if you're not a Catholic, confess directly to God. Receive, go to a crucifix. It's a symbol of God's love for you. And confess your sins and let Jesus love you in a very beautiful way. I want to tell you that there's power in the cross. Life-changing, healing, salvific efficacy and power that has so revolutionized my life and opened me up to receive the Holy Spirit. First comes the forgiveness, then comes the dessert, the blessing. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Please understand this. And, you know, you've come to the mission tonight, and those of you who are watching TV, you're looking for something deeper. I simply want you to receive what God has given for you and the love he has for you, the mercy, the kindness, so that you can really live with integrity and wholeness. And it's so good, knowing that you don't deserve it, but you don't have to earn it. You just simply receive. It's such a gift. And let me tell you about the blood really quickly, how important the blood is in the Bible. The blood in the Old Testament was life. There's life in the blood. And at the cross, that's exactly what was shed, blood. You know, there's a whole religious community called the Society of the Precious Blood. There's a whole community raised up to proclaim the blood of Jesus. Now, at Mass, we celebrate the blood of Jesus. That's why we come into communion. We commune with Jesus. The blood cleanses us. The blood heals us. That's why you come to receive forgiveness at communion. I remember one time I was giving blood. You know, I used to love to give blood. You know, roll up my arm and give a pint of blood every once in a while. Pretty healthy guy. And roll up the sleeve on my arm. And they give blood. I used to love to watch, you know, watch the blood go out and everything. One time I was giving blood and I was watching it, you know, all of a sudden I didn't feel so good. I started feeling faint, and I started feeling like, what? And the nurse saw me, and she goes, are you okay? And I go, oh, I'm not sure, you know, and it was like somebody else was saying it. I was starting to faint. She lays me down, and the blood went back to my head, and they gave me a cookie. You know, I love cookies, and little orange juice, and, you know, the nurse was so nice to me and everything. See, there's life in the blood, and Jesus literally bled to death and was asphyxiated for us. Now, I lead pilgrimages, and at least I used to. I've led 3 pilgrimages to Israel. I've studied over there, to Greece, Rome, Italy. In my last pilgrimage, we went to the shrines of Italy. That was back in the year 2001. I don't have a pilgrimage on the docket right now. I've got other things that I'm doing. So we went to a number of different places, but let me tell you about one of the most powerful places that we went to in Italy. It was a place called Lanciano, and it's on the east side of Italy, and I had never been to this place or even really heard about it. It was on our itinerary, Lanciano. So we went there, and it's a place where this Eucharistic miracle occurred, and so, you know, we all went. There was about 30 of us, and, you know, all the different masses that we had at these different shrines, these people were the most quiet and reverent at Lanciano. I mean, they're good people that were with me, but for some reason, you could have heard a pin drop while you're there. You know what it was about? This Basilian priest. Basilian is a religious community. Back about 1,000 years ago, he's presiding at Mass, at Eucharist. And as he's presiding, apparently this priest had doubts about, about what this really is, about the real presence, the body and blood of Christ. And as he's presiding at Mass, as the story goes, the host literally turned into flesh. And it's still there today. And you can see it. It's in a glass container. And then the wine in the chalice turned into blood, real blood. And that's still there today. It's globules now, and it's all kind of hard. And so now it's in a glass case. And I guess to see it, you know, sometimes seeing isn't believing, but to see it is interesting enough. But then, get this. I wrote this in my book on the Eucharist, by the way. I have a book on the Eucharist, How to Get More Out of the Mass. Scientists at the University of Siena did an experiment on these elements. They wanted to see exactly what this is. So they did a scientific experiment, first of all, on this quote, flesh, you know, what this host turned into. And it's interesting, not only did this host turn into human flesh, it wasn't just human flesh in their experiment. They discovered exactly what it was. Get this. It was heart tissue. You know what that tells me? That Jesus in the Eucharist at the cross is giving us his heart, his innermost self, his very love. It's kind of like his Valentine. You know, if you were here this morning, I took a heart and how God is calling us to be the Sacred Heart of Christ. That so moves me that he is so in love with us. You've got to spend time before a crucifix and meditate on the suffering. Those of you who are parents, you suffer for your children because you love them. And oh, how he suffered for us to cleanse us. And then let's get to the blood real quick. The blood, interestingly enough, I would think, you know, what? I don't know what the blood type that is the universal donor. You know, Jesus is always giving. I figured, okay, if it's human blood, it's probably the universal donor. Well, it was human blood. And it was the rarest type of human blood. I think it was AB negative. And it's not the universal donor. Blew my theory. Get this. It's the universal receiver. And I thought that was interesting. Because if you think about the life of Jesus, he was always receiving people. Whether you're a tax collector, a prostitute, an especially wicked sinner, he said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He was always attracting the incorrigibles or the unlovelies, the people that didn't have much of a religion. So if you're watching here tonight, you know, and maybe you don't have, quote, any religion, he's calling you. I mean, you're a perfect example of what it is to be a disciple. Usually the ones that are the worst sinners are the ones that get the most grace for some reason. So don't give up on God. God hasn't given up on you. And all of you here tonight, I think you've heard the gospel, you've heard the word, that it's for you. The blood was shed for you, for cleansing and for mercy. So let me end with a story, then I want to pray. I want to just pray over you, or not just pray, but I want to pray a powerful prayer that you receive mercy and cleansing and healing. But I want to tell you that, as I've said all tonight, so I'm just simply giving a witness about what God has done for me and, you know, how beautiful the cross is and how to be adored and venerated Jesus ought to be, because really, it's for you. And I think hell is going to be, people are going to realize how much God loved him and what God did for them, and they didn't receive it. And they didn't accept it. But heaven is going to be receiving it free of charge and going to heaven. So here's my story. It's about these three women. I love to tell this story. There's three women, and they're, strangely enough, they're sitting around a table talking about what they want to be buried in, their attire when they're waked, at their wake. So it was kind of a strange conversation. So the three of them are talking about it, and first one says, oh, that's easy. When I die and they wake me, I want to have my pearl necklace. It's our family heirloom, and it's a symbol of my belonging to the family for all these years. And the next one said, well, that's easy too. You know, when I die, I want to have my wedding ring. I love my husband. We've been married all these years. It's a symbol of our commitment. I want everybody to see it. They both look at the third one and they said, so what about you? What do you want to be buried with? She thought for a minute and kind of smiled and she said, I want to be buried with a fork. They said, a fork? What do you want to be buried with a fork for? She said, oh, that's easy. She said, whenever we'd have dinner, Mom would clear the plate. She said, honey, keep your fork. Dessert's coming. And I want everybody that looks in there and sees that fork to know that the best is yet to come. And don't you see that Jesus died so that we could live forever in heaven with God? We are so loved. He's given his heart and his blood for us. And that's the meaning of the cross. There's other meanings, but I can't go on all night. And so let's pray. Just bow your heads, those of you watching by TV. Heavenly Father, thank you for so loving each one of us that you gave your only begotten Son, and he became our scapegoat, the Lamb of Sacrifice, and he died on the cross. He stood with courage, and he died. And it was for each one of us. We receive and accept this tonight. And I'm praying for anybody that hasn't forgiven themselves that they'll experience healing and cleansing through the cross. I'm praying for anybody that's afraid of death and they're not sure where they're going, that they'll trust in Jesus at the cross and know eternal life. And I'm praying that deep inside, anyone with guilt or condemnation or shame, that they'll experience your mercy at the cross. For any person that's watching and they don't know you, that they'd surrender their lives to you at the cross. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.